Today's reading is Mark chapter 15, verses 1 to 15. This could be found on page 1027 of the Church Bible. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at a feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what should I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Good morning. Apparently it's said by some farmers that if you have a chicken and you put a chain around its neck and you tie it to a post and it stays there for a few weeks so that it walks around that post and only around that post, if you take that chain off, that chicken won't walk any further than a few metres away from that post. Even though the chain's gone, it will still act like the chain is there. Now, we're going to see this morning that we have been set free. We're free from the anger and judgment of God, from the condemnation of God. But the problem is, we so often live like we've still got a chain around our necks. We don't live in line with the reality of what God has done for us. So we have certain character traits which show that we're not living in line with the fact that we're free. Perhaps it's that we find it hard to open the Bible and pray because sometimes we feel if we've messed up, it makes it very difficult and hard. Or perhaps sometimes when we come to church, we feel almost hypocritical. We feel it hard to talk to other people. We feel we judge ourselves against them and we feel insecure or perhaps feel proud. And there's a whole load of behaviour that kind of shows itself as the fact that we're still behaving like we've got a chain around our necks and we're tied to a post. And what we want to do this morning is to real ram home the truth that we're free. And we need to be reminded of that, just as a chicken needs to be shown the areas around the post, shown and reminded the chain's gone. We too need to be reminded of these things. So we're going to be looking at this narrative in Mark's Gospel, and we're going to be seeing two key things. And the first thing we're going to see is on the sheets in front of you, that the silent king chooses to die. There was no time for sleep that night. Their hands were pounding with nerves. Their hands were shaking. Sweat was increasing on their palms. They stood in a dark, lonely room. A warm glow flickered across the faces of the people in that room, and you could see the anger on their faces. You could see the seething bitterness in their eyes. And amongst them, just on the floor, there was a lonely figure. And that figure, the light flickered on their face, and you could just make out bruises and cuts on their faces. Jesus was lying there at the feet of these men. More and more men came piling into this room, and they seemed to be discussing a plan, getting almost a little bit excited. And very soon, a few of those men turned towards Jesus, and some of them walked towards him quite aggressively, grabbed his arms, bound his wrists together, and grabbed him and led him out of the room. They led him down a street. And as he was walking down the street, the morning sunlight started to rise, and he could make out the buildings around him. And very soon he found himself right before a palace. And in front of that palace, there was a courtyard. And in the middle of that courtyard, there was a chair. And on the chair, there was a man in uniform. And Jesus saw that he was standing with the chief priests in front of Pilate. These men that were holding Jesus, criminal, they were holding him like a criminal, were all the religious leaders of the time. Anyone who was anyone in the Jewish world of religion, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, they were all holding Jesus captive. They desperately wanted Jesus dead. They hated him. Then the plan they were making was to get Jesus killed by convicting him of high treason, a crime worthy of death. Moments before Jesus had claimed to be king of the Jews, the religious leaders were going to bring this plan towards Pilate and say, look, he's opposing Caesar. He's claiming to be king. This is treason. As they stood there, Jesus was bound like a criminal. Pilate looked at him and said, well, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, you have said so. An answer that isn't really disagreeing with what Pilate said, but he's not completely confirming it either. This is the kind of king that is very different to what the chief priests were claiming he was to be. All of a sudden, the chief priests began an onslaught of accusations after accusations. Pilate looks at Jesus, stunned and amazed that he just stood there silently. A few years ago, when I was younger at home, my mum got a phone call to say that my brother had been arrested. And she got the phone call, and we found out later what had happened. And basically, he was outside some shops, and some policemen grabbed him by the arm and pulled him into a car and took him to the police station and sat him down in a police room. And there was a desk, and there was two men in front of him. And they began to question him and accuse him of stealing a load of CDs. And he fervently said, it wasn't me, I didn't do it, it wasn't me. And very gradually they started to twig on, and they looked at the CCTV footage and they realised actually they got it wrong. It was someone who had the same identity as my brother, who's now a policeman. Can you imagine if, knowing he was innocent, he just sat there and stayed silent? Jesus knew he was innocent, yet he stood there and didn't defend himself. You can only conclude from this that Jesus was not only willing but choosing to die. He was choosing to face the penalty of that crime that they were accusing him of. Mark's showing us something else here. He's showing us that Jesus is the suffering servant spoken about in Isaiah. Hundreds of years before Jesus, Isaiah speaks about someone who's going to be oppressed and afflicted, who would not open his mouth. And here we see Jesus silent. And as we see that, alarm bells just start to flash, and it shows us something about why Jesus is choosing to die. And the next section of the narrative makes that really clear, why he chose to die, and that's our second point. The innocent king dies to set the guilty free. Pilate has a stunned look on his face. He's looking amazed. The chief priests are red in the face. They're spitting from the mouth. They're throwing out accusations against Jesus. And Jesus is just silent. The footsteps of the crowd around them start to build up. The pitter-patter of noise and the loud talking and conversation builds around them. Each person in the crowd is trying to push forward and see what's going on. You ask him. No, you ask him. Okay, I'll ask him. A few people come forward and they walk slowly towards Pilate. And Mark shows us in verse 6 and 7 what they're up to. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. In the prison cells, locked behind the bars, there were a group of people who had committed murder. While trying to overthrow the Romans, they had killed someone. And there was a particular man called Barabbas. And the group approach Pilate and they say, can you release for us one prisoner like you always do during this time of year? And Pilate looked at them and said, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? Pilate, he just assumed that because they'd followed him for so long, they'd want him to be released. And he could also see that the chief priests only arrested Jesus because they were jealous of him. They were envious of him. He knew that Jesus was an innocent man. He deserved to go free. And the chief priests were so fervent about getting Jesus killed that they caused an uproar. They went around each person persuading them and getting them, grabbing them, saying, get Barabbas released, get him released, kill Jesus. And the crowd were very soon in uproar. And Pilate says in verse 12, then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews? Having to raise his voice over the shouts. And amongst the shouts, some of them cry, crucify him. And Pilate's just amazed. Well, what evil has he done? He's an innocent man. But the shouts just get louder and louder and louder. Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate buckles under the pressure. And verse 15. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. A great reversal and a great swap has taken place here. Barabbas is guilty of murder. He's deserving of death. He's a criminal, but he walks free. Jesus, clearly innocent, obviously innocent, is handed over to be crucified as a criminal. This swap is right at the heart of how we can be free. See, we're not too dissimilar from Barabbas, from the chief priests, or the crowd, or even Pilate. In different ways, they're all responsible for killing Jesus, whether it's because they want to please men or whether it's because they want control, they're all involved in killing Jesus. And that desperate desire that the chief priests had, where they went around shouting, crucify him, get rid of him, that desire in the crowd's hearts and that desire in the chief priests, that lies too in our hearts. It may not be so in your face, like shouting out, crucify him. But that desire is in our hearts. In our hearts, we don't want Jesus to rule over our lives. We want to be in charge of our own lives. And that's what's going on every time we sin. Jesus is our king and he lovingly gives us things that he wants us to do. But we choose to ignore them and do what we want. We prefer to live our lives without him. So we're just like Barabbas. Rebels trying to overthrow the king. Treason is a serious crime. Jesus warns the chief priests that they will see him returning to earth on the clouds of heaven, and this time it will be in judgment. And anyone who opposes his rule will be punished severely. Like Barabbas, we are guilty and deserving of punishment. But what happened in this passage is a clear picture of what happened at the cross for you and for me. A swap took place. Though we are the guilty ones, though in our hearts we want rid of Jesus, we don't want him in our lives, we go free. Jesus, the innocent one, willingly chose to go to the cross to take upon himself God's anger and judgment for you in your place. Three responses to this. Firstly, accept the swap. Perhaps if you're not a Christian here today for the first time, you've come here and things are starting to become clear. Maybe you're intrigued about Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Accept the swap. Jesus will return. This is something that has urgency to it. It needs to be taken place. You need to place your trust in Jesus before he comes. Secondly, appreciate and thank Jesus for his great love. Even though we want him dead, we want him out of our lives, he, in his love, looks upon us and is filled with great compassion, which drove him to enter into a world as a baby, to live a life where he was abandoned and mocked by all his followers. Moments before this passage, the very follower, Peter, who claims that he will go right to the grave with Jesus, left him and denied him, cursed the people that were claiming that he knew Jesus. We're one step away from denying Jesus. Jesus died for us. Even though we're like that, he willingly chose to die for us. Imagine perhaps someone who's treated you really badly, someone who you find really hard. They've maybe hurt you quite seriously. Could you even comprehend doing something kind for that person? Could you even comprehend doing something that would cost you? Could you even comprehend dying for that person? It's a love that is beyond anything we can imagine. And it's something that we need to ponder upon to stir up our own love for Jesus. Thirdly and lastly, live out that freedom that Jesus has won for you. You are free. If you are believing that Jesus has died for you, you are free. God looks upon you and he is no longer angry with you. If you, after church today, go home and you get very cross and you swear under your breath, if driving home you swear at another driver or you get very angry or you snap at your kids, that doesn't mean God looks at you in anger. Christ has taken that anger. You are free. So live like you are free. A lot of the behaviour we sort of do is showing that we don't really believe this truth. We compare ourselves to others. We worry a lot about what other people think of us. Live like you are free. Don't live like you are chained to that pole. Imagine if Barabbas, once he was set free, carried on living like he was on death row. How ludicrous would that be? Live like you are a free man. Let's pray. Our dearest Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We praise you for your deep love and grace. We thank you for dying for us in our place. We pray that we would enjoy that freedom you've won for us. Amen.